For scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the first book of Moses called Genesis, chapter 21. We read the first 21 verses. And the text of the sermon is formed by the verses 8 through 21. But we start reading from verse 1 of Genesis, chapter 21. And there we read God's holy word, and the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, from whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And a child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled a bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. So far the reading of the word of God. And we write above the sermon, the theme of the sermon is separations in Abraham's tent. Separations in Abraham's tent. First of all, Ishmael is cast out. And secondly, Ishmael is blessed. Separations in Abraham's tent. Ishmael is cast out and Ishmael is blessed. Congregation, joy filled the tent of Abraham. Sarah has given birth to the son of the promise. Finally, the Lord has fulfilled his promise, and Sarah laughed out of joy and gratitude. The Lord is faithful to his word, and Sarah's heart is filled with wonder. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, we read that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and that she was delivered of a child when she was past age. When faith is in exercise, joy will accompany this faith, since faith rejoices in God and his work. However, joy did not remain with Abraham's tent. It was displaced by disharmony and envy again. You say, again? Yes, because this is not the first time we read about disharmony. It already started with Abraham considered going on the pathway of the flesh. That happened when Sarah suggested he marry Hagar. And since then, the atmosphere has changed and it would never be the same again as long as Hagar and Ishmael live in Abraham's tent. Hagar has returned to Abraham's tent after she had fled. She was submissive to Sarah, but a little imagination tells us that it must have been hard for both to live under the same roof. Hagar should not have become proud after she conceived and bore Abraham a son. And on the other hand, Sarah should not be jealous because she had to wait so long before the Lord gave her a son. After Isaac was born, you would think that the tension between these women was resolved. Nothing could be less true. Jealousy and pride shifts to the next generation. Now the children become opponents of each other. Isaac is too small to understand what has happened in the past and what will happen in the future, according to God's word. However, Ishmael knows quite well. And when Isaac was born, he was at the age of 14. And from then on, he has a little half-brother. They were not equal since Isaac was the son of the promise, not Ishmael. And the years went on. The little baby boy, Isaac, enters a new stage in life. He becomes a toddler. In the ancient Middle East, this was considered to be a special event. When did a little child become a toddler? Well, at the time his mother stopped breastfeeding. You need to keep in mind that the babies were longer on the breast than nowadays. Till the age of 3 to 5, children were only nursed by the mother. And when they started to eat solid food, they became a toddler. A young child. It was a new stage of life. The child becomes less needy from his or her mother and grows to independence. And that is meant with the word weaned in verse 8. This important turning point in Isaac's life is celebrated by a great feast. And children, a great feast is a big meal with all kinds of delicious food and drink. And during this joyous time of celebration, something happened around Abraham's tent. Sarah sees Isaac and Ishmael together doing what? Playing together? No. She witnesses an awful scene. She sees Ishmael mocking Isaac. And the word used here is a word play on the name Isaac, meaning laughing. Ishmael is laughing at Isaac. And that's really sad. Children, do you know that? You should never laugh at someone and mock them. It's a very mean weapon to hurt someone. If someone has ever laughed at you, then you know how painful that is. It hurts you inside. And Scripture tells us that if you mock someone, you reproach his Maker, the Lord God. Well, that is what Ishmael is doing here. He is mocking. Why? Because he cannot stand that Isaac will be the heir of all that is from his dad Abraham. Ishmael is jealous, and even more than that. The occurrence here is not the innocent laughing of a young adolescent of the age of 17 or 19 years at a toddler of 3 or 5 years. When Paul interprets this story in Galatians 4, verse 29, he speaks about persecution. Ishmael harasses his half-brother Isaac. He mocked Isaac as the only heir of Abraham. And Sarah saw it, says verse 9. And the author employs words which show that Sarah saw it with great abhorrence. The name Ishmael is not even mentioned in the text. She saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. And you can sense contempt in these words. She's furious about what happened with her son. Can you imagine? If something happens to your child or children, then you are hurt. Parents are vulnerable in their children. That appears also in this story with both Sarah and Abraham. You care most for those who you love most. And when something happens to someone you love deeply, you feel as if it has happened to you. You want to prevent the other from harm and shame and difficulty. You are hurt if the person you love is hurt. And when this happens, you can easily overreact, especially when the person you love is more vulnerable. Your feelings of injustice are stirred up and you want to defend the other. We observe this kind of reaction with Sarah as well. As Isaac's loving mother, she's very upset, and we understand this. And maybe the tension that was already present between Sarah and Hagar contributed to her negative feelings toward Ishmael. What has been covered up for the last years come out now. She expresses her feelings to Abraham, probably on the day of the great feast. The day started in joy, but ends in sadness. Not only for Sarah, but also for Abraham. And she expresses her anger. And yet her anger was not only personal and subjective. There was more. It's important to pay special attention to this. Only Sarah understood what happened between Ishmael and Isaac. The incident was not just a stupid action of an immature young adult. It's not just an innocent teasing. There was more behind it. And Sarah noticed a spirit of envy and hatred behind Ishmael's action. She understood that if Isaac and Ishmael would be raised together, this would cause great trouble in Abraham's tent. And she understood that both would receive blessings according to the Lord's promises, and yet the promises were not equal. Only Isaac was the promised seed. And out of him, the Lord would continue to bless his people for the world. Two different nations would grow out of Isaac and Ishmael. And maybe you wonder what this promise means for Ishmael's soul. Maybe you wonder, does this mean that Ishmael was rejected by God? I don't think we can make that conclusion. though the specific covenant promises did not apply to him but to Isaac, this does not mean that he was excluded from God's grace. Ishmael could be saved, just like Isaac. And yet there was only one way of salvation, namely in and through the promised seed of Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way of salvation was open to Ishmael if he was willing to acknowledge the Lord's wisdom and sovereignty and expect salvation via Isaac's descendant, according to the promise of God. And yet this story shows that Ishmael did not bow. He rebelled, not only against Isaac. His attitude to Isaac exposes his attitude towards God. As Sarah understands that Ishmael is a threat for Isaac, and therefore they cannot live in the tent of Abraham any longer, Sarah's request is short and very decisive. Cast out this bondwoman and her son. And the reason is also very clear. The son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. She makes clear that Abraham's heritage is at stake as long as Hagar and Ishmael live under the same roof. However, now Sarah is causing pain in Abram's heart. This is about his son, his firstborn. Sarah may not have the same feelings for him, but Abraham loved his son. And maybe Abraham has felt the friction between Sarah and Hagar and the tension that continued after Isaac was born. But he was not willing to send his oldest son away. Abraham was offended by Sarah. Abraham went to sleep that night, very discouraged. Did he bring his agitation to the Lord in prayer before he laid himself down to sleep? He must have had difficulty sleeping. And that night, the Lord spoke to Abraham, maybe in a dream. And the Lord said to Abraham, verse 12 and 13, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." Instead of being confirmed in his feeling of injustice, the Lord speaks in favor of Sarah. And Abraham was torn. Abraham loved his son and was proud of him. He has become a strong man, a real hunter. And now God wants him to send his son away. How can he? And on the other hand, he doesn't want to be disobedient to the Lord. And in addition, the Lord has confirmed his promise given before, of which we read in Genesis 17:20, namely that Ishmael will be blessed because he is a son of Abraham. Abraham could not refute the Lord's command. God's word silenced his inner turmoil. I don't know if Abram fully understood the necessity of sending Ishmael away, but that is not most important. It's not important whether he understood. What matters is obedience to the Lord, trusting him fully, not mistrusting his demands. And what is the content of God's word to Abraham? Well, in the light of the New Testament, we begin to understand that this story has also a symbolic and deep spiritual meaning. We read in verse 21, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And this is an important expression. This is not said of Ishmael, but of Isaac. He and his seed will become a nation that can justly say, Abraham is our father. And the Apostle Paul quotes this text when he speaks in Romans 9 verse 7 about God's sovereign election. Only those who belong to Isaac's offspring will partake the rich covenant promises, namely that God will be their God and that he will adopt them into his family. This does not mean that you can only become a partaker of the riches of the covenant if you belong to Isaac's natural offspring. It has a spiritual meaning. We need to become seed of Isaac by the way of regeneration, repentance, and faith. In Galatians 3, Paul explains that the expression Abraham's seed points to the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ we can enter in God's kingdom and become heirs of eternal life. But by nature we stand outside the kingdom of God. We are unfit and unsuitable to live in communion with God ever again. And yet in and through Jesus Christ the kingdom of God is opened again, so that those who confess their sin and guilt can enter in because of the merits of Christ. He has paid the high price of his life by satisfying God's justice. We cannot enter in by our good works, neither by doing our best to obey the Ten Commandments. We can only be saved by the blood of Christ, which is shed for the remission of all sin. And in a way, this is explained by Paul in another portion to which I have referred more often, namely Galatians 4. Among other things, the apostle makes clear that there are two kinds of covenant people. Either we are spiritual related to Isaac or to Ishmael. We belong to Ishmael if we try to contribute to our salvation by doing good works. But then we are in bondage, required to fulfill all God's commandments to enter the kingdom of God. And who is able to make himself suitable for the Lord and his service? It's foolish if we try to become a better man, to live a strict life, trying to make ourselves suitable for the Lord's mercy. If this is about you, then your effort will be hopeless. And will end up in eternal despair if you don't repent. And maybe you don't seek a life according to God's word at all, or at best on your own terms. Maybe you are indifferent, pursuing your own desires, governing your own life. Then I have to warn you. You belong to Ishmael. That means that you are without hope in this life. Oh, seek to belong to Isaac, from whose offspring the Lord Jesus was born, the promised seed. Only he can deliver you from sin and guilt. He's the God-given righteousness by whom you can live in peace with God again. Well, how can you become a spiritual descendant of Isaac? Well, in the way of yielding yourself to the Lord, praying for his mercy. We need to repent from sin, from ourselves, from our pride and ego, submitting ourselves to him. That's not what we do by nature. We are inclined to serve ourselves and our own desires. And yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn to crucify ourselves and to abandon our selfishness. We learn from this story that much can oppose this. The Lord confirmed to Abraham that only in Isaac his seed shall called. And Abram had to bow under God's sovereignty by sending Ishmael away. Yes, by casting him out. Ishmael was an obstacle for the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. And for the sake of Isaac, he had to cast Ishmael out. Abram had to die to self for the sake of the promised seed. And yet by the grace of the Lord, he bowed and obeyed the Lord's command, since he judges him faithful who has promised. But we see in this scene also another person who does not yield. Who? Ishmael. Since Isaac's birth, he must have understood that not he, but Isaac will be the promised seed of Abraham. And on that occasion, that special occasion, on that great feast, he displays his envy toward Isaac. But not only to Isaac, also to God and his covenant. Instead of recognizing Isaac to be the promised seed, he mocked the little boy who would become Abraham's heir. Ishmael could not yield for Isaac's sake. He could not bow under God's sovereign plan to fulfill his promises in the lineage of Abraham and Isaac. Later on, the history repeats itself, and Esau doesn't want to humble himself, and God wants the elder to serve the younger. Ishmael did not want to serve Isaac. And do you recognize the ancient sin that commenced in paradise? We want to be as gods. We want to rule our own life. We don't want any lord or master. The spirit of rebellion appears in Ishmael's life at this turning point in Isaac's life. But have you seen this spirit living in your own heart as well? We are not willing to bow before the Lord, repenting from sin to God. We want to have both. We want to receive covenant blessings and at the same time maintaining our position on the throne, determining our own lives. But there can't be true spiritual life if we have not learned to lose ourselves, to abandon our desires, our wishes, our dreams. In spiritual life, we learn to stop pursuing our own desires, yielding to the will of God. That is ultimately at the bottom of the heart of all those who fear the Lord. By the operations of the Spirit, you want to live in communion with God again. And you want to live redeemed from sin and guilt. The Lord exposes what you need to be delivered from. You discover that enmity against God abides in your heart. And as Paul says in Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. You are in need of His mercy revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, since you so easily give in, cherishing the desires of the flesh. And so we hear a serious warning in this story. Living from the covenant and living in sin cannot go together. They don't fit under the same roof. We need to cast out the old man by mortifying indwelling sin. Life and death do not go together. The service of the Lord cannot negotiate with the service of sin. They fight each other. How to cast out all that opposes God? Well, this is impossible with man. It's only possible because of the promised seed that is born out of Abram's loins, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he has conquered sin and death. And with him you find a perfect Savior. He has broken the power of Satan and sin on the cross. And to all those who believe in him, he grants the grace of to fight sin. And if you see him by faith, then you know that he is the conqueror who has merited full salvation. You need to lean on him. You need to lean on God's covenant promises. Do you struggle with sin? Don't you know how to cast out sin? With him is grace. Oh, will you not pray for his mercy? Lord, make room for thyself. Enlarge my heart for thee and keep me from pursuing my own sinful desires. Let us also listen to the fact that Ishmael is blessed by the Lord. As I mentioned, Abraham has experienced something of this struggle. It felt so hard for him to cast out his own son who he so loved. He had sent him and his second wife away. He had to send him and his second wife away. Though it was painful to him, he obeyed the Lord's command. And so the next day, early in the morning, Abraham goes to Hagar and Ishmael stands. And though he loved Ishmael, he sincerely wants to obey the Lord. And he explains to them what they have, that they have to leave and that they are not allowed to come back again. Maybe Abraham has told them about the promise for Ishmael, which the Lord had confirmed to him, a promise regarding his temporal life. And the time to say farewell has come. He supplies Hagar with the basic provisions for survival. Bread and a bottle of water, which was a skin of water that could hold about 15 liters. And Abram does the last thing he can do to care for them. He does it with compassion. That is what we understand from verse 14. We read that he put the provision on Hagar's shoulder and gave her his son, his child, which means that he gave the responsibility of the child into her hands. And the provision received is enough to move to another well and to take care of themselves. They depart. It was a farewell for life. The word used here is also used for divorce and the release of slaves. It's a heart-rending scene. And they move southeastwards and wander in the wilderness of Beersheba. This is the fairly flat part of the Negev wilderness. And they wander, which means here that they walk without purpose. And finally, they got lost. Yeah, and if you get lost in the wilderness, then there is no hope to survive. You understand what happened. Hagar and Ishmael run into trouble since their water runs out. And it appears that the young fellow shows first dehydration symptoms. And Hagar cannot help him anymore. Her boy cries out for water, but there is none. There's only one thing she can do. She casts the child under one of the shrubs. Maybe this sounds a bit harsh. We also wonder how she could physically handle a young man of 17 or 19 years old. Some translations have changed the wording to a more friendly word. But then you will miss the crux of this scene. The word cast means here that she parted from him. She gave him up. So she left him under the shadow of the shrubs so that he could die there. Hagar was in despair. And she sat in front of him about a bow-shot range so that she would not hear the crying out of her son who was in great agony. It tears her heart. She weeps freely. Ishmael cried out. Was it a cry out to the Lord? Did he only cry out for help, or did he also realize his guilt for his plight? It could be. At least we understand that the Lord heard his prayer and that he granted salvation. The name Ishmael means God will hear. This name was given to him by order of the Lord God. Do you remember the story about Hagar in the wilderness? That was at the time that she was pregnant with her son. She fled from Sarah, who had treated her harshly. And the Lord visited her, promising to take care of her and her son. And the Lord found her, promising to take care of her. The Lord found her while she had fled from the Lord. And she called upon the Lord and acknowledged him for his goodness. The Lord heard her affliction, and therefore she had to call his name Ishmael. God will hear. And the Lord is faithful to his own word. Again, the Lord finds Hagar in the wilderness, but now with her son. And he speaks to her. He speaks uncovering and comforting words. He first says, "What ails thee, Hagar?" And this question gives the impression that Hagar has forgotten to bring her need to the Lord. An uncovering question. And some commentators have concluded from this story that Hagar did not really believe in the Lord, that she ultimately has forsaken the God of Abraham, the God of the covenant. I'm not sure if we do justice to her by making this conclusion, since we also read about comforting words. What? The Lord says to her, "Fear not." And you should know that this expression is used many times through the whole scripture. And it should strike us that the Lord uses these comforting words always to comfort his people. And when they are in great distress, the Lord shows who he is and that there is no reason to fear, since the Lord is faithful. He is almighty, sovereign, and gracious. God shows again to her that with the Lord are many escapes. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. God heard Ishmael. God hears you too when you cry out to him. Why? Well, not because you deserve it. The only reason the Lord hears you is because it pleases God to fulfill his promises. Ishmael received promises from God, and now God wants to fulfill them in his life as well. And you, who are so richly privileged with covenant promises, may call upon his name, since God hears. The Lord will hear you when you cry out to him while you are in your plight, in your deep pit of sin, or in your difficult life circumstance, in your pain, in your shame or guilt. He hears everyone that calls upon his name. And we imagine that Hagar must have thought of the former time when the Lord visited her in the wilderness. The Lord shows that he is still the same. The Lord shows again that he is the God of life, and that he is able and willing to save in even the most difficult circumstances and situations. And maybe this is what one or more of us needs to hear right now. You feel increasingly desperate. Your life circumstance is heartbreaking. You don't see a way out of it. Oh, be assured that the Lord hears, as he even hears the young ravens that cry. The Lord is faithful to his own word. And what happens then? Then all things will change? No, not per se. The Lord can perform miracles in our life circumstances, but sometimes the Lord keeps us in our plight. In life we usually meet difficulties and grief. We cannot escape them. Though we may pray that the Lord will change a situation or circumstance, what is most important is that we get a clear sight of the covenant God and his fatherly care. Our eyes need to be opened to him. And that happened to Hagar. What appears? A well is close by. It was there. It was already there. But she did not see it because of her despair and fear. She did not perceive. And this is how it can be spiritually as well. Our eyes can be blind for the outcome which is with the Lord. We can be blind because of unbelief. We cannot give each other faith. We cannot give each other a sight of God. God himself is able and willing to do so. And he's more willing than we are willing to acknowledge our foolishness before him. It can be that your help is on its way, that it is close by, but that our eyes are still blind. Unbelief blinds the eyes for God's power and goodness, for his wisdom, sovereignty, and mercy. But when the Lord opens our eyes, then we discover that the Lord has already provided, even before we called upon his name. He knows our needs better than we. Hagar beholds the well of water which was already there. And because of her sorrow and fear, she did not perceive. Well, Hagar fills the skin with water and gives her son a drink. The Lord gave deliverance. The Lord showed his gracious nearness to Ishmael and Hagar. And he fulfilled his promises, since Ishmael was a son of Abraham. God keeps his covenant in spite of all. And Ishmael grows up in the wilderness and lives there. He grows to a strong man and becomes an archer. He knows how to survive in the wilderness. And his mother takes him a wife from Egypt, the land where she was born. And Ishmael, well, he did not become an Egyptian, but he dwelt between Egypt and the place where Abraham and Isaac lived. And now we come to the close of the sermon. Ishmael had to pay a high price for mocking Isaac. The consequences for his unwillingness to bow before Isaac as Abram's heir are far-reaching. And in this story, we read a serious warning for all those who do not bow for the promised seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ishmael's offspring will always remain Israel's enemy. And to whom do you belong? To Isaac or to Ishmael? Young people, to live prosperously in this lifetime, you don't need the covenant promises to live prosperously in this lifetime. Ishmael was blessed by the Lord as well. The difference is that his blessing stopped when he died. The abundance the Lord has promised him are granted. But Isaac's blessings reach further. They reach to Christ and all his benefits. Temporary blessings reflect something of the riches which are with God. If you know the riches of the covenant blessings in the way of repentance and faith, then you partake of eternal life. And don't forget that decisions made in your youth affect your future life. That's what we see with Ishmael. And the longer you live impenitently, the more you will grieve later about the sin of your youth. That does not mean that you cannot be converted at an older age, but you lack so much comfort if you delay seeking a life in the fear of the Lord. Behold the two examples in Scripture. Do you really think that Ishmael's life is more attractive than Isaac's life? Are you truly blessed if you are truly blessed if you may know the Lord while you are young? And you cannot be too young to seek the Lord. Honestly, there is nothing better than a life in the fear of the Lord. Let the world scoff at you. Let your peers laugh at you. The reproach of Christ is of greater riches than the treasures of the world. With the Lord, it will go well. Today and when you must die. And apart from Christ, you may have a prosperous life, yet without true comfort and without hope. My friends, life is short. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Plead with the Lord to fulfill his covenant promises. Yield your heart to the Lord and live. Amen.